Hey, what? Never talked a lot about music, but I gotta tell you what, there's a musician here, his name's Patrick Watson. Never heard anything like this. And that's just my story right there with him. Anyway, I just wanted to let you know, in your final recordings, you referenced Leo in the beginning, mentioning Leo led you to this, and actually Anthony found his way to your final recordings. And I felt like it was something I should do, and I'd get a hold of Leo and just let him know that we found him and we have him, and he can look at him on the internet. And got a hold of him, and we had a nice chat, and I ended up mailing him the audio recordings, and then I gave him a DVD that I gave everybody around Christmas of you and your life and all that, and I'm keeping the spirit going. But I think it's good to have Leo around. I think he brought you so much comfort and joy and spiritual solace that it's good to have a man like that around. I think Leo, at the end of the day, was the only person, friend of yours, that never pissed you off, that was always there for you, and that provided comfort. And I think that says a lot about him and his character and about the relationship you two had together. But he, you know, lauded you for being so cool and funny yesterday. And anyway, I sent this package off. I'm going to let him divulge it for a bit, and then I'm going to meet him up for lunch someday. And, you know, we'll figure life out, do our thing. So, but just wanted to let you know, yeah, that's been done. Leo is going to be woven into our lives now, hopefully. I don't think it's too close. I don't get too close to anybody. Funny about being close and being in a symbiosis of sorts with folks. There's a little pal that Miles has at school. Her name's Charity. And she's this little girl with big, thick mats of dark hair with ponytails. Miles loves her. They hold hands at recess, and they're always together in the classroom, and they just adore each other. And last night they had this messy night at his school we went to, and she immediately came up to him, and she was there, and her parents were there, so we went up and started talking. And it was interesting because the mom's a teacher, like Carrie is, and the dad's has a day job as a courier, and he's an artist, and as I am. And it was kind of cool to see how you kind of feel like you're not so alone. I mean, when the kids were all running around doing their thing, you know, I was running around too, and we had this shared kinship almost. Like, I could understand what he was doing, and he understood what I was doing, and we were just talking about art, just having a nice little talk. And it was cool that, you know, you got these people that have a special needs child, and the rest of the world looks at you and gives you this shit. Not on purpose, but they do. They're all like fucking, you know, looking at you like, what's your kid saying? What's the story with this? They're just not quite sure, hell or high water, what to do with any of it. But when you meet a parent that has special needs, all that shit goes out the door. You could fucking just have a good talk, and you have an understanding, and you can look at each other in some kind of manner that's of symbiosis, I guess. So anyway, we had a nice talk with them. Maybe the kids will hang out sometime. We can hang out with them. And it's just so comforting to be able to talk to some adults in this life that has some kind of idea of what you're going through or what it's like. There's no one that fucking does that. I don't even talk to my friends anymore. I just don't even fucking, I just can't. I can't. I'm not there anymore. I'm not a fucking city guy. I'm not fucking bumbling from one girlfriend to another. I'm not fucking watching the grass grow, so to speak. There's aspects of simplicity I'd love to have, and I never trade anything that I'm doing now. But as far as finding a common ground with people that I know that I can even relate to, it's just hard. My boss, you know, he has his son has OCD, and we can talk about this, and he understands what it's like, from pharmaceuticals to coping to behavioral modification, which is completely awesome. Just very, very completely awesome for someone that I'm with most of the days that I'm alive. For bulkhead of the day, it's so comforting. But anyways, I diverted off a little bit there, but the bottom line is that I love it whenever I go to functions and I hear people either talking to Carrie or maybe us together, and they're like, God, this kid just smiles all the time, or he's happy, or they love him, and I can tell he's one of their favorites, and that's very cool. That's very comforting to me that he brings so much joy to people, and that He's such a joy, and I know he is. I mean, I'm around him. I know there's times where he belly aches and he gets upset and this, that, and the other, but we have to be more understanding. And I work on that every day, getting more and getting to a better place of understanding and a better place of not getting so reactionary whenever he gets reactionary, because it's only going to make things worse. And it's a huge lesson in life. This is something that you grow with if you care enough and love enough. And I do. And I'm going to fucking fight every day. The rest of my fucking life, it's going to be a fight. Everything. I did my blood pressure today. I'm pre-hypertension. What was it? 136 over 84, something like that. And I know I've always talked to you about it, and I used to always tell you what it was. Like, yeah, it was usually 120 over 80 or whatever. And you'd always be like, yeah, you're in good shape, you know. And it's like, now it's I'm on that road. I got the high cholesterol. The doctors confirm. I'm taking some pills, fish oil, cholesterol medication. Watching what I eat, getting some diet meals, which is fine. I don't want to fucking go down that route that, unfortunately, you had to go down, where you just get to a point in your life where it's so fucking hard when you get to that wall. Like, you know, there's choices early on as a 36-year-old man that I can make that are going to benefit me whenever I get to be 60, 64. Yeah, I was thinking about a poem yesterday that I want to write, and I hope this reminds me to do it. I always thought you would outlive Bob Dylan, and I was listening to Bob Dylan the other day in the kitchen, and as those sounds echoed, I looked down a mile as I realized the generational baton that's passed, and our expectations are only dreams that dissipate once we go to sleep or leave the earth. And you've done both. And now I'm plodding my own way with Dylan in the background, singing his hymns and rhyming his way through reason or logic, giving us all something to smile about, knowing that the revolution is every day, whether it's helping your child with the long 15th chromosome or kissing your wife on the forehead before you go to bed at night. It's all a part of the living and loving and fighting. And as I say, fighting is the good fight, but it's fighting. All right, pal. Take care of yourself up there.